Roll back the calendar with me for a second. It's the middle of the 1930s. The country is climbing out of the Depression, and somewhere on a ramp in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a machine is sitting in the sun that looks less like an airplane and more like a piece of jewelry. Polished aluminum, curves like a rolling ocean swell, a big round radial up front, and a cabin trimmed out like the backseat of a luxury automobile. That's the Spartan 7W executive. And this week at Oshkosh, one of them taxied out in front of the crowd and reminded everybody why it earned its name. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and you're listening to ATs. Today we're not talking about a rule change or a bulletin. Today we're talking about one of the most beautiful airplanes ever built and why it still stops traffic on the flight line more than 80 years later. Here's what you need to know before we go any further. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com now. Let's get into this airplane. Flying Magazine ran a piece out of Oshkosh this week with video of a Spartan 7W executive taxiing out at Whitman Regional Airport. And if you've never seen one move under its own power, it's worth understanding what you're actually looking at. The Spartan executive came out of the Spartan Aircraft Company in Tulsa. This was an outfit tied to the oil money of its era. The man behind it for a stretch was J. Paul Getty, one of the wealthiest people in the world at the time. And that background tells you everything about the design philosophy. This was not built to be cheap. This was not built to train students. This airplane was built for the businessman who had somewhere important to be and wanted to arrive in style. Think of it as the private jet of the late 1930s, before there were jets. Let me give you the shape of it. The executive is a low-wing monoplane. All-metal retractable landing gear, which in that era was still a genuine novelty. A lot of airplanes of the 30s were still fixed gear, still fabric and wood. The Spartan was polished aluminum and folding legs, and that put it years ahead of its neighbors on the ramp. Up front, a Pratt & Pratt & Whitney Wasp radial, around 450 horsepower. That's a serious engine bolted to a relatively small, clean airframe, and the result was performance that embarrassed a lot of the competition. We're talking a cruise speed up around 200 miles an hour. In the 1930s, with five people and their luggage sitting in a cabin that had leather seats, sound insulation, and cabin heat. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though, because the real reason we still talk about this airplane isn't the speed, it's the way it was made. The Spartan executive was hand-built to a standard that almost nobody could afford, then or now, flush riveting across that aluminum skin. So the surface is smooth as glass, compound curves formed by craftsmen who were, frankly, artists. When you see one polished up in the sunlight at Oshkosh, it throws light like a mirror. That's not an accident. That's what the airplane was designed to do. Here's a number that matters. They only built about 34 of them. 34, total ever. So when one of these taxis out at AirVenture, you're looking at a genuine survivor. A large slice of the entire production run of this type still flies today, which is a testament to how well they were built and how fiercely their owners have looked after them. This affects you if you're the kind of pilot who walks the vintage rows at Oshkosh and wants to understand what separates a nice old airplane from an important one. Let me explain the difference. A lot of the airplanes from this period were built to a price. The manufacturer was trying to sell to flight schools, to barnstormers, to working aviators who needed cheap and simple. Those airplanes have enormous charm and we love them, but they were tools. The Spartan executive was built to a standard instead of a price. And that distinction is why aviation historians put it in a very small category, alongside airplanes like the Howard and the Beechcraft Staggerwing, as the true luxury cabin ships of the Golden Age. When Getty's company was selling these, the customers were oil executives, corporations, a handful of movie people. This was the airplane you bought when a train was too slow and beneath you, and you wanted to land at the airport nearest the deal and step out looking like $1 million, which, adjusted for the era, is roughly what one cost. Now let's talk about what happened to these airplanes when the world changed. When the Second World War came, a number of Spartan executives got pressed into service. The military took some of them for utility and liaison work. Spartan, the company, shifted over to building trainers and components for the war effort, the way most of American aviation did. That's actually part of why so few civilian executives survive in original form. Some were used hard during the war years, some went overseas. The ones that made it through and made it back into private hands became the seed stock for the restorations you see today. And restoring one of these is not a weekend project. The in-flight diversion I want to make here is about the craftsmanship, because it connects to something every one of us deals with. When you restore a Spartan executive, you're chasing a level of finish that modern shops have to relearn. That flush riveting, That mirror polish on compound curved aluminum, the fit of the retractable gear doors. These are skills that were common in 1938 and are rare now. The people who bring these airplanes back to Oshkosh are keeping those skills alive. Metalworking, riveting, the art of the polished aluminum finish. When you admire the airplane, admire the hands that put it back together. That knowledge is as much a part of the Warbird and vintage community as the flying itself. Let me bring this back to the video that started all of this. Flying Magazine's footage shows the airplane taxiing out, and I want you to think about why watching a vintage airplane taxi is its own kind of pleasure. On the ground, a tailwheel airplane with a big radial up front can't see straight ahead. The nose is in the way, so the pilot S's, you weave the nose left and right, gently clearing the path ahead by looking down the sides of the cowling. Watch a Spartan executive taxi, and you'll see that deliberate, patient dance. It's not the pilot being fancy, it's the pilot flying the airplane the way the airplane demands to be flown, with respect for the fact that you cannot see what's directly in front of you. This affects you if you're moving up into any tailwheel airplane, vintage or modern. The discipline is the same. You keep the airplane moving in a controlled weave, you keep your speed down, you keep your feet alive on the rudder pedals, because a big radial and a narrow gear track will find your laps in attention the moment you stop paying attention. That's the same skill in a Cub, in a Champ, in a Stearman, and in a $750,000 Spartan. The airplane doesn't care what it's worth. Physics doesn't read the logbook. Let me widen the lens for a minute, because there's a bigger point in here for all of us. Oshkosh is the largest gathering of aircraft on the planet for 1 week every summer. And the temptation is to spend all your time chasing the newest thing. The electric demonstrators, the advanced air mobility mock-ups, the latest avionics in the exhibit halls, and that's all worth seeing, but the vintage rows are where you go to understand where all of this came from. The Spartan Executive is a straight line drawn from 1938 to the corporate airplane, sitting on the ramp, today retractable gear for speed. An enclosed, comfortable, heated cabin. Enough power to make real trips at real speeds, a finish and a fit intended to signal that the person inside had arrived. Every business airplane built since owes something to the ships that proved a small company could carry a handful of important people, fast and in comfort. The Spartan didn't invent all of that alone, but it executed the idea about as beautifully as anyone ever has. So, here's my suggestion, and it costs you nothing. Next time you're walking Oshkosh or any big fly-in, don't just glance at the polished antique and keep moving toward the jet demo. Stop. Walk around it slowly, get down and look along the wing at that flush riveted skin. Find the owner who is almost always standing nearby and almost always happy to talk. Ask them what it took to bring it back. You will learn more about airplanes in that 10-minute conversation than you'll learn in an hour of watching things you can't touch. Let me leave you with one last thought about why an airplane like this matters. We fly in an era of glass panels and autopilots and airplanes that will practically land themselves. That's progress, and I'm glad of it. But the Spartan Executive comes from a moment when an airplane's beauty and its performance were the same thing. The clean lines that made it fast are the clean lines that make it gorgeous. Form and function, welded together, polished to a shine. 34 built, a remarkable number still flying, and one of them taxiing out into the Oshkosh sunshine this week, S-ing its nose left and right, throwing light off that aluminum like it just rolled out of the Tulsa factory yesterday. That's an airplane worth crossing the field to see. My thanks to Flying Magazine for the report and the video out of AirVenture. You can always find more at radiohanger.com. I am Tower. That's your ATIS for today. Keep your eyes on the vintage rows. The old ones still have plenty to teach us.